Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be talking about learning online and at the public library. Our low-tech item will be talking about how you can use your public library. Basically, it's just a way to get out of the house and some of the interesting events that they have there you might want to attend. The focus item will be downloading either ebooks or audiobooks from the public library using their OverDrive system. And the high-tech item will be talking about all sorts of other ways that you can get learning materials online. But first, to our tip of the week. Now, we actually had a tip of the week planned that went along with the theme of this week's show, but then we got some feedback from some listeners, and we had a little cooking experience ourselves since our cooking show, which was last week, Viewpoints number 1117, if you're looking for the podcast. And so we changed our tips of the week, and we have two this week. So the first one, I left the house when Pete was all at home alone, and he was baking bread and ran into an issue.
Well, I couldn't decide which bag in the cupboard was the white flour or the wheat flour. And I didn't want to make the bread with the wrong one. That could have been a disaster. So I thought, well, we've done programs before on Skype. Let me use Skype to call my sister and show her the two bags of bread. So fortunately, she was in. And by holding up the bag in front of the camera, in front of the PC, she was able to tell me which bag was the proper bag to use. So even though there was, you know, I needed someone with some vision around to give me a hand, make sure I was doing the right thing, they didn't have to be right in the house. And Skype came in pretty useful for that. And our second tip comes from one of our listeners in Reno, Nevada. Harry wrote to me during the week and asked if we had talked about the use of protective gloves when cutting things when you're cooking. And so we found out some information on protective gloves since we hadn't thought to put some of that information in the show. And here's some of the feedback we got based on that.
So it turns out the first we knew about protective gloves is, as we said on our grocery store show, when you go to the grocery store, they're often giving out free samples. Well, the people at our grocery store, you know, they're really safety conscious. And the people who are chopping up anything, whether it's cheese or fruit or whatever, they have to wear these gloves that are like chainmail. If you remember the knights in shining armor from 500 years ago, these things look a little bit cumbersome. They tend to wear a rubber glove, then the chainmail glove, then another rubber glove on top. They're, from what I understand, pretty uncomfortable, but very effective. It's impossible to cut yourself through there. And they cost $90 and up. And here's an online review we found of them. If you enjoy carving wood or just working with sharp tools, this glove can save you countless boxes of Band-Aids, as well as a nice chunk of change and gas money from all the trips to the local emergency room for stitches. The chainmail, just like the type medieval knights and shark divers use, is a great safety tool that not only keeps you from slicing your hand open, but also makes you feel pretty tough while wearing it. Much more comfortable and easier to work with than any heavily padded safety glove. These are similar to butcher's gloves and also those advertised for shucking oysters, but they're half the price. So if you just Google chain mail gloves, you'll find, I don't know, at least a dozen different varieties. But it turns out if you do a more generic search for protective gloves, you can find gloves made out of Kevlar, leather, polyethylene with steel threads. Some of these look a lot more comfortable. I don't know if they're quite as effective. They're definitely, some of them, a lot cheaper. They range from about $5 to over $100. And if you go to www.allsafetysupplies.com, you can see lots and lots of different varieties of those.
So we'd like to thank Harry for that suggestion. And if other users have other suggestions or tips or things you want to hear on this show, feel free to contact us.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about getting out of the house with events at your library. And I knew there were a lot of events going on at the public library, but just so we'd know what to say on the show, I actually looked at our local public library, happens to be Webster, New York, for this month, just this month. There are movies, book discussion groups, children's story hours, a knitting class, a crocheting class, an AARP driver safety program. And the AARP, incidentally, runs specific safe driving programs for older adults and people who may need additional tips on how to compensate for things that aren't working quite as well as when they were 17. And there are even a couple of presentations, one on birding and a travelogue to the Adirondacks.
Sounds like quite the place to be.
It is.
Well, in fact, we've often gone to presentations and all at the library, particularly when our kids were young. They have many activities for kids. I remember they were in those book groups where they would encourage them to read books and have sort of contests about how many different books a kid would read and have prizes at the end of several weeks or several months or so.
So the more books you read, the better of a prize you got. And then at the end of the summer, they'd have a picnic for all the kids who participated.
Right. They used to always also have those children's story hours in the evening. Remember, we used to trot down there with the kids in their pajamas, and a whole group of kids would pile up and show up in the library in their pajamas, and they'd read kind of bedtime stories to these kids. So it could be a fun family place to be.
Right. And then it turns out, well, the adult book club is different from what we were describing for kids. That's where they tell you what book the whole group is going to read, and then you all come in on a certain date and discuss the book. Apparently, the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired in Rochester has a book group specifically for vision impaired people. It's called Page Turners. They meet the first Monday of the month at Coley's Cafe on Park Avenue. That's right near the corner of Berkeley Street, from 10 to 11:30 in the morning on the first Monday of the month. There's free transportation available in both directions, getting to and from the book group meeting. So that's pretty cool.
There's lots of stuff at the library, though, and it's particularly these reference librarians are very good about if you're interested in particular kinds of activities or books or topics. They're very good about directing you to the right places and getting you involved in these things. So you should definitely check some of those out.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is Overdrive. That's how I get all of my audiobooks. We were just talking this morning in preparation for recording this show, and usually the focus item, especially if it's something like obtaining accessible reading material, Pete's doing all the talking, but this is how I get my audiobooks, and it's been working great.
Well, this has made a huge difference to you. I would believe that Nancy's probably been reading four or five times as much as she used to read now that she's able to get these audio books, because now she can integrate listening to these audio books into the rest of her daily tasks. So while she's taking walks, she'll download these books and put them on her MP3 player to listen to them. Or while she's gardening or house cleaning, she can listen to these things. And you've been reading a lot more, right?
And the house has never been as clean.
That's true.
If I'm in the middle of a good book and it's too cold or raining or whatever, dark outside for me to want to go outside, I'll just dust the house and find out what happened in the next couple of chapters.
Of course, the downside for me is sometimes now I have to call her name several times to catch her attention because she's plugged into some earphones.
Well, there is that.
But that's okay. Anyway, well, you should tell them about how to avail themselves of this service.
So if you want to get to the service, you can go to Overdrive, that's all one word, OVERDRIVE.libraryweb, also all one word, LIBRARYWEB.org. So that's overdrive.libraryweb.org. And on there, they have all sorts of instructions about how to use it, as well as all the books you can search for. But let me just start by listing some of the categories of books. And these are, many books are available both as audiobooks or as an ebook, which is one of these digital formats that you can stick into your Kindle or Nook or whatever other kind of digital book reader you have and actually read it in text.
And there are many apps for reading these e-books, even on your PC, if you don't happen to have a Kindle or a Nook or an Android phone or something.
And then some of the books are only available in one format or the other format. But in any of these formats, they've got fiction, they've got children's fiction, and then for grown-ups, they've got drama, historical fiction, horror, humor, mystery, science fiction, on and on and on. And then in nonfiction, they've got biographies, autobiographies, business and careers, current events, family and relationships, health and fitness, anything you can think of. If it's in your regular public library or you want to read about it, you can get it in one of these accessible formats through the digital library. And I just learned yesterday, I have no idea how long they've been doing this, but I was searching for a book in some format. And if you do a search, at least in the Monroe County library system, it used to be if you put in the name of a book, you'd get back records for any physical book that they had, whether it was large print, regular print, audio CD, audio cassette, whatever. If it was a physical book, you would get information back about any book that they had available for you to borrow. But now, in addition to all of the physical formats, I also got back, when I did the search, information about these digital downloadable formats. And either as the ebook, which would be a print format, or as an audiobook, but directly downloadable. So you don't even have to go to the library to get the library books. It's great. And you can take them out for 3 weeks at a time. And they make this sound like it's a benefit. There's never a late fee, because at the end of the 3 weeks, it just gets deleted from your computer and kind of virtually returned to the library, and you don't get a late fee. And if you want to take it out again, you can take it out again. You can't actually renew it.
So I do want to mention one caveat about these books. Many of these books are in what they call a WMA format, which is a protected, copyrighted format. And you need a special device that's capable of listening to these protected format files, an MP3 player. They're reasonably inexpensive, but it turns out that most of those commercial players are not very accessible to people with low vision. The devices that I use in terms of the book ports, Victor reader streams and stuff, these typically do not read that protected format type of file because there are licensing issues and it would make these devices more expensive. Although OverDrive does have more of their books are in MP3 format these days, so that isn't an issue. And the MP3 format can be read on any of these devices. So you just have to be a little bit wary about what format you're downloading and what's accessible.
And from my experience, there tend to be a lot more books that are WMA format than MP3 format. And I assume that's all because of the publishers and what kind of lending rights they want to enable at the library.
Right. These things are changing with time. And what we say today may not be true a year from now.
Or even by the time this is broadcast, that would be a bummer.
There you go.
But we think it's true today. That's why we're saying it. So I went to the OverDrive website, and I'm just going to review the simple instructions for how to actually install it and use it. It is a piece of cake. So you start by getting onto their website, and that's, as I said earlier, overdrive.libraryweb.org. You click on the Help button. Click on the Quick Start Guide, and all of these are very easy to find. It's a very well laid out, organized, accessible website. And once you're in the Quick Start Guide, you click on the link that says, not surprisingly, to download and install OverDrive Media Console, click here. And then you have to answer like one difficult question. Select your operating system or device and click on Download Now button, and you can use any of the following. There's any version of Windows, 98 or more recent, any Apple or Mac operating system, version 10 or more recent, the Android, the BlackBerry, the Windows Mobile. So pretty much any device you have, you can download this onto, and all you have to do is select the right one, and then you click on Download Now. If you didn't want to do that, which was pretty simple, you can click on installation instructions and follow them step by step. And somewhere down the middle, you'll get to a button that basically says download and install now, and you get to the same thing. If you want to install Overdrive Media Console for Windows, you require a security upgrade, and that has to do with the permissions for WMA and their ability to make sure that you haven't kept the individual books for too long.
I guess they make it clear where to get the security update, or is this the normal
They
update?
Provide a link to it.
Ah, very good.
They don't just make it clear, they make it easy.
Okay.
It says right on the website, Overdrive Media Console for Windows utilizes Windows Media Player 9 series or newer to play DRM-protected files. The first time that it attempts to open a DRM-protected file, it will alert you that a security upgrade must be performed. This takes just a few moments, but only if you're using it in Windows. If you're not doing it in Windows, you don't need to do that. If you're just listening to MP3 format books, you also don't need the security upgrade. So it's just for the WMA books. But it's worth it because they've got a lot more of those than they do of the MP3s.
So I've never actually installed and used this since I have access to so much other audio material, but I assume this puts an application in your start menu or on your desktop that you can launch later on?
I keep the icon on my desktop. That's just more convenient for me, but you can do it either way.
Okay.
And so I just open up my browser and I go to my bookmarks because I've bookmarked the Overdrive site. And once you get into the Overdrive site, you can browse or search that site for any kind of material you want. So if you're looking for a particular book, you know, you want the latest John Grisham novel, you type in Grisham, and you can specify that you want things written by Grisham instead of about Grisham. They give you your choice, you know, search for title or search for creator. And then you can select whether you want particular formats or any format, and you hit go, and it comes back with a list of all of the books that they have, in this case, would be written by John Grisham. But once you've selected the title that you're interested in, if it's available, there's a link on the side that you can either add it to your so-called wish list. Now, that's a list of books that you want to read, but maybe not this week. Or if it's available, you can add it to your digital cart. And then just as when you're buying something online, you can get into your digital cart and say, okay, I want to check this one out now. And then there's a download link and you click download and it actually just downloads an ODM file to your computer, which is really small. And then you open that and that is what launches Overdrive and tells it, okay, do you want to download the whole book directly to your hard drive? And it just works in the background. And, you know, it might take a couple minutes if it's a really long book, but some of these are really big files. And if the book is not available immediately to download, you just put it on your digital waiting list. So just like at the physical library, if the book isn't available, you can put a hold on it. They send you an email note when it's ready. You click a few obvious buttons, and all of a sudden you've got the thing downloaded to your device and you can read it.
And I just want to point out that we talk about mostly downloading these books and transferring them to some portable readers like an MP3 player or something else. But you can also listen to these things from your computer directly, and this might be more comfortable for you if you're lying in your bed or a sofa or something, and maybe you could attach some bigger speakers to your computer that make it sound a little better and just close your eyes and listen to it like a movie or something. So there are many ways of listening to these books.
Or if your reading disability is more a dexterity issue than a visual issue, you can download the ebook either to your reading device or to your computer and be able to read the whole book by just hitting the next button. Now for this week's high-tech item, online learning. Man, where do you want to start? There are so many different opportunities.
Learning is certainly a lifelong thing, and we try to keep abreast of lots of information and what's available and things like that. So where do you want to start?
Well, I don't know. Google Scholar.
That's an interesting place to start.
Google Scholar is great. And of course, Google's always really good at tooting their own horn. So if you go to their website, which is www.scholar, S-C-H-O-L-A-R, if you are one, you shouldn't need to know how to spell it, .google.com. So www.scholar.google.com. It says right at the top, Google Scholar provides a simple way to broadly search for scholarly literature. From one place, you can search across many disciplines and sources. Articles, theses, books, abstracts, court opinions, from academic publishers, professional societies, online repositories, universities, and other websites. Google Scholar helps you find relevant work across the world of scholarly research.
It's not to mean it's all free from Google, though. It will find these articles and often give you a short piece of an article. And if it's not free, you have to pay for the rest of it. So although you can find these articles, they're not all free like everything on Google. Many other things on Google are.
But you sure can find it.
That's true.
So the next thing we'd like to talk about is a very interesting online learning opportunity from some of the major universities.
I don't think there's a field that has not been touched by the laser. Most of us are familiar with supermarket checkout counters with the laser barcode readers, as well as laser discs and laser printers. But there are all sorts of other applications that some of us don't know too much about. For example, laser surgery is now becoming very important, as well as retinal welding and so on. When it comes to laser sensors, lasers can measure almost anything. Sometimes they do it very well. For example, a navigation system, as well as the numerous applications in fundamental physics, chemistry, and so on. So you can see there are lots of applications for laser.
Now, doesn't that make you want to hear the rest of the lecture?
What you were hearing there was the beginning of a lecture from an MIT professor. MIT, like many other universities are starting to do around the country now, but MIT led the way, offers virtually all their course material, the outlines for their material, course notes, sometimes some video, other lecture notes and associated links online for free. And what I looked for was, of course, you know, our background is physics. I look for what they have available in physics, and they have any of their courses from simple freshman physics to quantum mechanics to lasers and things like that available online. You just look for what you would like to find out about. So I found this one on lasers, and this professor happened to be giving a discussion. It's a video, and actually I think the rest of it contains many examples that are probably easy to see and understand for people who are interested in learning more about lasers.
So we're going to make this a little bit easier for you and tell you exactly where to find it. They call it their online courseware, OCW. So if you go to www.OCW for online courseware, .MIT for Massachusetts Institute of Technology.edu, you can find all sorts of courses there. But, you know, MIT isn't the only college or university that provides their materials online. You've probably seen as many ads as we have for the University of Phoenix, but many, many colleges offer these online.
And all kinds of courses. You'll find history, sociology, just general classes and, you know, general education and stuff like that if you do some searches.
Another interesting source that one of our Apple friends suggested to us is iTunes U, as in university. So from www.apple.com/education/iTunes-u is iTunes U. And sure enough, they toot their horn too. From their website, they refer to themselves as a powerful distribution system for everything from lectures to language lessons, films to labs, audiobooks to tours. This is an innovative way to get educational content into the hands of students with over 350,000 free lectures, videos, films, and other resources from all over the world.
And if you have trouble finding some of these websites, the way I found this originally was just type into Google iTunes University. And sometimes the websites are difficult to remember. But there are other sources, too. You came up with a whole bunch more, didn't you?
We did. One in particular is The Great Courses through the Teaching Company. So you can go to www.teach12.com. So it's digits, 1-2. So www.teach12.com/greatcourses.aspx, although it's easier if you just Google Great Courses. And they actually have physical DVDs, CDs, tapes, all sorts of formats. And they have professional speakers who that are very well produced, very polished lectures on all sorts of subjects, science, arts, economics, you know, high school, professional, graduate level, all sorts of interesting stuff you can get from them.
Yeah, the nice thing about those is you don't necessarily have to be a specialist in the field to understand many of those. Many of them are aimed at sort of the general public. Another interesting place that I've used for searching for things is archive.org. If you go to www.archive.org, you'll find some interesting search options. And what these people do is, every maybe 6 months or so, they archive the entire contents of the web. So there's a massive amount of information there. But the thing I thought was particularly interesting about what they do is they have this thing called the Wayback Machine. And if you look down the page, you'll find a link to their Wayback Machine, where they've archived web pages from 1996. So if you want to look
to the present.
To the present, right. So if you want to look for something, what did this web page look like 10 years ago or 15 years ago? I guess you can go back that far these days. You can find out what these web pages look like and find some older information. Now, this is particularly interesting. You know, people talk about web privacy and stuff, and you think sometimes you may have deleted your information from the web and it may not be there. But let me tell you, people are archiving it, and these things can be found. But that
pretty
can be
easily.
Yeah, that can be kind of a fun site to see what the web used to look like a long time ago. It's really changed quite a bit.
And then there's something called library.org.
Right. I went there, and they had links to many public libraries around the world, links to other places to get different kinds of publications, music, art, and all kinds of things like that. So it's kind of a generic place to do some searching for more particular things that you might be interested in.
And apparently you can even download entire books as PDF files, which is kind of cool. That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we're going to be talking about a recent trip we took, and we've got all manner of fun audio clips. We brought audio recorders with us everywhere we went. So we'll be talking about getting through the airport, checking into the hotel, and of course then getting a tour of the room, as only we can do for, you know, our visually impaired traveler. And then some of the fun activities we did there, tromping through the snow, the sand, regular hiking trails. And ultimately, the high-tech item will be about actually booking the trip. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.